Hey everybody, you're listening to the Stash My Comics podcast, episode 4. Today I have with me Steven Sparks and Chance Peterson. Say hello, guys.
Good afternoon, people.
Hello.
And we are going to go right into news.
News.
First thing we're going to talk about, the thing that I was most excited to talk about and mention was some news on Scott Snyder's Batman. So there's going to be some new Batman backups leading into this whole Night of the Owls event. And it's supposed to be starting with issue number 8. Are either of you reading Batman? I know, Chance, you're reading Detective Comics, correct?
Yeah, I was reading Batman as well, but I was actually thinking about dropping it.
Okay.
Steven? And for me, I read Detective Comics number 1 and have not picked up an issue since.
Okay. So I guess they're adding an extra 10 pages to Batman, but unfortunately that's also going to bring the price from $2.99 to $3.99. So might be a deal breaker for me. I think I'm going to pick it up and see where it goes. The whole Night of the Owls event seems pretty interesting. And Scott Snyder has done no wrong for me lately, but not sure if I'm going to pay $3.99 or not. I've got my own line to draw, and I haven't picked up any other $3.99 titles, so time will tell with that one. Any of you going to be picking this up to see the extra content?
No. Is it going to be like extra storyline, or is it going to be like a sketchbook type deal?
No, it's extra storyline. It's the whole Night of the Owls thing. I guess they're giving some history on this group, and I don't know exactly how far back they're going, but it seems to be within the Batman universe this sort of cult that has always existed, sort of a Masons thing of Gotham, and that's going to play heavily into Batman coming up in the future. This was the one story that Scott Snyder had that he said if he could tell a Batman story, he'd tell this one. So I imagine it's going to be pretty epic and pretty big leading up into this event. It'll probably cross over into all the Batman titles. Steven, you got some news you want to discuss?
Yes. Well, today in the DC Universe Online, update number 8 was released, which is going to deal with the research and development, where you can craft new items and create new gear, which is going to be really awesome, I think.
Cool.
And then also I have another story with a new toy line for Arkham City. Series 2 is going to be coming out soon. And this is going to have the Riddler, Catwoman, Batman, Hush, and the Mad Hatter.
Awesome.
And they look really cool. They look awesome.
Chance, do you collect any of those? Any of the DC toys and stuff?
I don't, but Steven's been, as he talks about the toys, it's just gotten me interested in trying to check them out and see what I might be interested in.
Yeah, I love the realism on a lot of them. I mean, the price point is a little high, but man, those, you know, those $15 figures that I keep seeing at Toys R Us are really tempting.
Yeah, you have to be really careful when looking for figures, because I would try to avoid eBay because, you know, you can get out-of-box figures and people are still charging you $20 for them. Like, real popular right now is the Blackest Night line. Huge seller right now. And they just released a new series with those that have Red Lantern, Guy Gardner, two Green Lanterns, and I want to say Sinestro, but I'm not sure on that.
Okay.
But they look really beautiful.
Cool. Well, going back to the DC Universe, I know Chance had mentioned that he does not play this, and I don't either. But I'm tempted to do so now that it's free. Are you a villain or are you a good guy?
I have both.
You have both, okay.
Yeah.
And so you get to build them from the ground up and choose their powers and this type of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Me and Chance have been playing for like, what, the last three nights? Two nights?
Two nights.
Oh, you have been playing. Okay. What do you think about it, Chance? Do you like it?
Oh, it's really fun. I mean, especially when you have more people to play with.
Right.
You can just do so much more.
All right. Well, I might have to check that out. On the video game tip, I don't know if you guys have played the Lego Batman, but apparently with the Lego Batman 2, there's also going to be, I believe, Superman, Wonder Woman, some other of the DC hero characters.
Yeah, Green Lantern 2 is going to be involved.
Okay, Green Lantern. Yeah, I was hoping they'd just go with sort of a Justice League thing, but, you know, the Batman name is so huge, it makes sense to sort of tie it on to that.
Yeah, I just read an article on that about 3 days ago, and I'm a huge fan of the Lego series. You know, I have Harry Potter, I have, you know, Batman, Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And it's a great line for a video game, and it's fun. Anybody can play it.
Yeah, all that Lego stuff is so good. You know, I play it with my son, and he's more than able to handle it, and he's 7. And so it's a good time when we get together and play that. I'm hoping that they'll have some sort of a deeper, customizable character option on this one. Have you heard anything on that front?
No, but what I do know, and what you probably know with the customization, it's just pretty much a mashup of all the parts that are in the game.
Yeah.
Pertaining to each character in the game.
Sure. Yeah, so swapping parts.
I think that's how it's pretty much going to be, simple for the younger generation to play.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that's who I think they really aim for more, is that probably like 7 to 14 range.
Right. Maybe they'll at least have a couple more slots open. I know we only had, I think, 2 with the Lego Batman one.
Well, Indiana Jones Part 2, The Adventure Continues,
mm-hmm.
I think they have like 10 slots of groups of 2.
Okay, cool.
So you can have a bunch of customized characters.
Okay. Anybody have any other news they wanted to shout out?
Well, I actually have 2 more pieces if you want to throw them in.
Yeah, go for it.
I just read today on Marvel's website that there's going to be a new Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon coming out on Disney XD.
Ah.
And from what this one is about, it's going to be about Peter Parker, and I guess he's going to be in S.H.I.E.L.D. So let me take a look here. And this is from the Marvel website. This is just a quote. As the newest member of Nick Fury's S.H.I.E.L.D. organization, Peter finds himself on a team with 4 other teenage superheroes.
Hmm.
And let's see. The voice cast is going to include Drake Bell from Drake and Josh as Spider-Man, Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
J.K. Simmons from Spider-Man, who played Triple J. Mm-hmm. And as always, Stan Lee will be in it as Stan the Janitor.
Ah.
So this is probably going to be really cool. I haven't seen any actual animation frames from it yet, but it is going to – looks like it's going to be on Sundays. They're going to have a Marvel Universe night on Sundays, which is going to have, you know, the Earth Mightiest, Hulk, Iron Man, and probably the other Spider-Man show from the 90s.
Okay.
So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm curious what the animation style is going to be like, because it seems like everybody's going for an anime-type look, and I'm kind of hoping for something a little more traditional. They did a great job with the Avengers.
Oh, yeah, such a great show. Storylines are really strong. Yeah. And let's see. I also have, for all you Facebook addicts out there, Marvel is going to be introducing a game called Avengers Alliance. They have a preview video up for it on the Marvel website. But pretty much going to be heroes versus villains. I guess there's some unknown force that's grouping up all the supervillains and making them supervillains. And you play as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, which you make your own force to take on all these villains.
Huh. Now that's for what? All the platforms?
No, this is going to be a Facebook app.
Oh, a Facebook app. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Weird. Huh. That should be interesting.
And there's no date when that's going to be released.
Okay. Kance, I know you're a Spider-Man guy. Are you looking forward to the new animated series?
Yeah, I am. Mostly because of the fact that I think the TV shows are a great way to get people into comics.
Yeah.
I know personally that was one of the main things that got me into them, is watching the shows growing up
mm-hmm.
and getting interested in the just characters as I'm watching them got me to want to actually check out the comic books.
Okay. Well, cool. I think that about does it for the news. Who wants to... We're going to go into reviews now.
Reviews.
And so we'll have three of those. Who would like to go first with the book they're going to review? Anyone?
Chance, you want to go?
I'll go first, sure.
Okay. We'll do Chance and then me because mine kind of ties in with his, and then we'll do yours, Steven.
All right, cool deal.
All right, so the comic I picked was Action Comics number 5. And this story was really simple. It was an origin story for Superman. And what I liked about it, I have never personally read any Superman origin story before this. I know it. I've heard it. I've seen it on TV. And I think that's great. The fact that it's so ingrained in our culture that most people know it without ever knowing anything about the comic book. But I really enjoyed just how it was told. He is being saved by his parents as Krypton's about to explode. And everything looks really good. I mean, the art is just awesome. There's not much to really say about how the story plays out because most people know it.
Right.
But there are some interesting things that happen when Jonathan and Martha find him, how they play this out. And the one thing that I wasn't entirely thrilled about was that it was playing into a future aspect.
Mm-hmm.
With people from the future coming back. And I hope that it plays out better than what it appears to be right now. But I'm just not thrilled with that. It does look like it may be tying in already to the current Superman arc, which you're going to be talking about.
Right.
Which... I'm reading that right now, and mm-hmm. I think that might be interesting to see how that ends up playing out.
Right. Yeah, Action Comics was one that I was going to pick up, and then, you know, price point-wise, I decided to go with the other Superman title, but it keeps referencing it, and so I might have to go back and check it out, because it sounds like they're doing a really good job of taking these two books and making sure that they're... in line with each other, in line with Grant Morrison's new vision of Superman. Steven, are you reading any of the Superman stuff?
No, I'm not currently.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a big Superman guy, and Superman's one of those characters I've always wanted to like. And when the reboot came out, I thought, well, this is my chance. I'll pick one of the Superman titles and stick with it for a while. And so... I decided to talk about Superman 4 because it's the most recent one. And like Chance was saying, there's something big going on here with Superman. And from the very first issue on into the fourth, every issue deals with sort of a new bad guy, per se. And one is like a fire guy, and then there's this invisible entity, I believe, and then... in the latest issue, he fights somebody with these ice powers. And so what we're finding out is that these are all linked together. They have something to do with Krypton. We just haven't figured out quite what it is yet. But what I like about what they're doing with Superman is obviously they're going back in time and sort of retelling things. And we get a really fresh start here. You know, him and Lois have no relationship other than friends at this point. And Lois is actually in quite a position of authority. She, I believe, is the producer of the television station that is also coinciding with the newspaper. and Clark Kent is sort of the bleeding hearts reporter. Really, he's for the people, and you see that both when he's Clark Kent and both when he's Superman. He's kind of the working man's hero, and I like that they've gone this way to sort of establish the character and make Superman a little more accessible than he used to be. So basically, all these big monsters are coming down fighting Superman, and in the middle of this whole thing, we get this question of, you know, is Metropolis better off without Superman? Because Superman's here, is all of this being caused? And it creates a nice conflict because Superman is questioning himself. You know, he's trying to figure this out and trying to get rid of this as quickly as possible so, you know, the city can be safe again. But at the same time, in the back of his head, you know, he's got to be thinking, if I wasn't here, maybe all this wouldn't be happening. So I like this series a lot. And if you are new to Superman, this is the perfect spot to jump on.
I'm going to go with Dark Horse Comics, The Strain. And this is from Guillermo del Toro and Chuck Hogan. Guillermo del Toro is known for his movies for like Pan's Labyrinth, Hellboy 1 and 2, and Mimic. And this is sort of a vampire type book. It's weird. It starts off in Romania in 1927 with this grandma and her grandson. And she's telling them a story about a man who suffers from being extremely tall. And his name was Joseph Sardou. Well, his father took him out into the woods on a hunting trip to go get wolf's meat because they thought it would be a cure for it, because wolf's meat, you know, had special properties and they thought it would cure him eventually. Well, so the father goes out looking and he comes back and the whole camp's just slaughtered, and Sardou's looking around and he goes into the cave to bury everybody, and he doesn't come out for some amount of time, and he comes back and children in the town start disappearing and coming up dead. So later on, it flash forwards into the future about this kid named Zach and his father who works for the CDC. And he gets a call stating that there's a plane landing and everybody's dead. So they eventually get into the plane, and there's only three survivors left. And then it sort of just cuts off there in the storyline. And they get in the plane, everybody's dead, and that's it pretty much.
Huh. Now this is, I'm assuming, an ongoing series, or is it a miniseries?
You know what? As of right now, it looks like an ongoing series, because in the previews they have number 2, 3, and 4 coming out.
Okay.
So, and then on the final panel, you just see a coffin, and that's it. And then you hear a tap, 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 because when the grandma was telling the story, Joseph Sardou would always tap his cane to give the kids candy when he was, quote unquote, good, I guess.
Right.
So they lead it off saying that, you know, he's back. Interesting, but, you know, what do you expect from Del Toro? If you guys have ever seen Pan's Labyrinth, you know, he's a wonderful storyteller.
Right.
You know, I put him in there with Jim Henson, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely – I like a lot of the Dark Horse stuff. I just – for some reason or, you know, it just never makes it to my budget. But the one series of Dark Horse that I really liked and was reading pretty heavily was – the Goon series.
Oh, yeah. Very popular. Well, yeah. The good news about this issue is it's only $1.
Oh, okay.
So if anybody out there wants to check it out, it wasn't a bad read. I liked it. I give it about an 8 out of 10.
Okay.
And then they also came out with another series called The Orchid, which is only $1 for the first issue.
Okay. Yeah, I wish there was more Dark Horse on Comixology, since that's where I get the bulk of my new stuff. There's only like a couple series on that, and maybe a total of 4 comics. So I know they're trying to build their own app, but In doing so, you know, it's kind of kept me from getting the things of theirs that I might otherwise pick up.
No, I'm pretty sure that Comixology will work with them, because I think Xenoscope just came out with their app.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I do believe, ties in with Comixology.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. I'm sure we'll see one sooner or later.
Okay. Yeah, I hope they do, because there's definitely some pretty cool Dark Horse stuff out there that I'd like to check out.
Oh, yeah. It, you know, I like it because they don't trend with Marvel and DC and Image.
Right.
You know, they like to stay on the darker side of things, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Always
definitely. All right, well, that's all of our reviews, and I figured sort of for this last, you know, 20-30 minutes of the show, we'd go into a special segment, and I wanted to do Geek on a Budget again because I found something pretty cool. So that's what we're going to do.
Geek on a Budget.
What I found, do either of you, where you live, have access to a Dollar Tree, the store of the Dollar Tree?
Oh, yeah, like typical dollar store, or is it?
It's actually its own chain, and it's Dollar Tree. It's not like Dollar General or anything like that. It's a specific chain.
All right. That's a no for me, then.
Okay.
Yeah, I have one right near me.
Okay. Does the one near you, Chance, does it have comic books?
I haven't been there in a while, but I do believe last time I went there, they have some that are, like, bagged with a couple issues.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm referencing. I went to an antique store, of all places, and found some pretty cool comics from the 90s, and as I was picking those up and paying for them, a lady at the counter mentioned that Dollar Tree had comics. So I went in there, and like you said, it's two to a bag, and in some case, it's not only bagged once, but there's another issue bagged inside of it. And I'll tell you, for you know, 50 cents an issue, it's worth a shot. There's stuff from Image, there's stuff from defunct companies like CrossGen and Valiant, and then there's some Marvel. And I'll tell you, I unwrapped one of them the other day, and it was a Hulk issue, and it was one from the, you know, early 90s, and I opened it up, and it was actually signed by Peter David, which, you know, for me, kind of helped to basically, I mean, it's not worth a ton, but it basically paid for the, you know, 10 or so that I bought, so.
That's awesome. That was like me. I bought some Howard the Duck back issues from one of the stores I go to, and I opened it up, and it was signed by Steve Gerber and Penn.
Cool. Yeah, it's amazing. If you just stop and look for these deals, you know, some of them are there. You know, some of these comics aren't very good, but they're at least fun to read and good for a few laughs here and there. Okay. So when I opened these up, they have little cards with them, cards like superhero cards, and the ones in the baggies, funny enough, is like Power Rangers for whatever reason. They give you like one Power Rangers card per pack, but inside, one of the Image comics was another like Image card of the Wildcats or something. And what I found out this company is, it's a company called Cards One, and inside they give you an offer to spend $24.99, and that's free shipping. And what you get is 35 different vintage, they call it vintage, that means the 90s, comic books, guaranteed no duplication of books. You get a comic book hero collector set, 10 superhero and supervillain vintage unopened trading card packs, stickers, buttons, yada yada, comic book promo cards, and what I thought was nice was there's also 100 comic book protection bags with that, and then they give you a comic book and trading card magazine subscription, email, newsletter, and this kind of thing. So I'm tempted to join it just to kind of see what it's about. And you can go online and check that out. It's cards1.com. I haven't been there yet, so I'm assuming this is a company still in business, but I can't say for sure.
Yeah, I'm on their website right now, actually.
Okay.
And they're still up and running.
Okay. So I guess, you know, during the 90s when there were just so many comics and different companies around, they must have sort of gotten into a stockpile of these things and are able to move them at that price.
Oh, yeah, like with the cards in the 90s. I was a huge comic book card collector in the 90s. I have so many sets and so many extra cards.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. You know, I just want to get rid of some of them. You know, not the sets. You know, I'd sell the sets, but I have so many duplicates. So it's just insane. So if anybody on the Stash My Comics forums are looking for figure or certain characters, let me know. I'll send them to you for free. I just want them out.
Are these Image, Marvel, DC? What's the?
Oh, they're all sorts. I got, you know, pretty much, you know, Marvel and DC were the big ones. Image didn't really produce a lot. So, and then, you know, there's some off ones, you know.
Cool. Yeah, and one of the books that I found, it was a cross-gen comic, and I don't know how to pronounce this. I'm assuming it's Sigil, S-I-G-I-L. You ever heard of that?
No, I've never. Mm-mm.
It's sort of a sci-fi soap opera kind of deal. But apparently Marvel just recently has relaunched some of the cross-gen titles, and this was one of them. But it's just a big sci-fi sort of action drama thing, and its basic premise is that there's these lizard people that are attacking humans and trying to annihilate them. I mean, that's sort of the story roughly. But I liked it so much that I went on to eBay to check out, you know, what kind of lots I could get of it. I had issue number 35 thrown in this thing, and in another package, issue number 2, I believe. But on eBay, I found a guy selling them, and it was like, for 20 issues, it cost me like $7, and that's with shipping. So looking forward to getting that in there and reading some comics that I never even knew existed.
That's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
$7.
Not bad. Yeah.
Not bad. Good find.
So Chance, next time you're at Dollar Tree, let me know what you got over there. I'm curious, sort of how much of a variety they have.
Yeah, I know a lot of stores that aren't comic book stores that do sell comic books, you can usually find some pretty decent stuff for really cheap.
Hmm. All right, anybody else have any bargain tips?
Well, let's see. I'm thinking.
Chance, where do you go to get your stuff on the cheap while Steven's thinking?
I don't usually concern myself about that. I usually just
get what you want.
Get what I want and work with what I have.
Right.
But when I want something cheap, I'll check eBay sometimes. I just bought a big collection of Deadpool stuff for what I think was relatively cheap, good, you know, I think ended up being almost a 200% change in price for me. So the other place I'll check is the Stash My Comics forums, because we have the trade, sell, buy section now.
Okay.
So you can get other users of the site that have something that you want. You can talk to them about it. And I know I bought stuff from Steve for pretty cheap as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good time to kind of plug the site, stashmycomics.com. If you all don't already go there, you should sign up, go to the forums. There's all kinds of neat tools in there for keeping track of your comic book collection, and it's all free. And of course, we have the podcasts. We have this one and the sister podcast, The Chase Variant, which is usually on the alternating weeks that this podcast is on. So be sure to check those out if you're new to us. And if you want to drop me a question, podcast@stashmycomics.com, I'd be happy to answer it on the show. Steven, you have anything to add?
No, you know, I pretty much agree with Chance with finding issues. You know, if there's something I want, I really don't care about the price. But for bargain shopping, I usually, my main store I go to about 4 different stores because they all have, you know, their own exclusive little deals.
Mm-hmm.
For one, my store does a pound of comics for $2.
Hmm.
And this is everything. You know, I've gotten new issues like the recent Cable series that was just out for like the last year and a half or so during the whole Generation Hope deal.
Right.
And introducing Hope. I picked up like issue 8 through like 16.
Hmm.
And, you know, a few other comics in that $2 range.
Right.
So, you know, that's like $50 right there.
Yeah.
So I saved a lot and they're all in great conditions. You know, you might see like a little corner bend or something, but nothing that's going to take away from the issue. And then one of the other stores I go to, on their Facebook page, they'll always offer a deal up. You know, they'll be like, you know, from hours 4 to 6, you know, you buy 5 back issues and give you 2 back issues for free.
Hmm.
So, you know, I just try to keep a lookout for those. And then there is eBay, but a lot of people like to overcharge on there for worthless stuff, I think.
Yeah. Or for shipping. They'll just charge you more for shipping.
But. Yeah, that seems to be the new common, like, getting the money. You know, they'll just, you know, charge you $2 for the issue, but then charge you $7 to ship it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something, as long as you pay attention to what you're doing and know at least enough about the comic of how much you want to spend, really, just factor that in. You can usually find stuff pretty good, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and always check your filters, too.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing to do is always click that free shipping filter button, and hopefully you get lucky with what you want.
Yeah. Well, where I live, we have a couple really giant antique malls, and I've found a couple spots where I've been looking for comics there, and have found some. One of them has a lot of what I consider to be overpriced comics from the 90s, but occasionally there'll be $1, $1.50 one in there, and I'll pick those type of things up. I actually picked up a really old issue of Demon. I think it's Demon number 12. It wasn't in great condition, but, you know, it was like $2.50, and it intrigued me enough to pick it up. But if you've got like antique malls and stuff like that, always check those places. It's not all furniture. In fact, ours is really interesting mix of your old furniture, but then there's tons of stuff thrown in there, you know, from the 60s, 70s, 80s. So antique is sort of a relative term. We always think of our grandmother's furniture, but it encompasses quite a bit more because these stores are looking to sell space to anybody who wants to sell anything, and that sometimes includes comics, if you're lucky. You guys have anything like that in your area?
Yeah, I actually have 2 big flea markets. You know, it's its own chain, but, you know, there's one like, you know, I'm in Detroit. There's one north of Detroit and one south of Detroit, and these are huge. These are like 150,000 square foot places, and you know, you can go buy a table for $35 for the weekend, and, you know, a lot of people do garage sales, and, you know, there's a couple places there, you know, they sell figures, and they're there every weekend, and, you know, there's one guy, he'll go there, but he's just so overpriced on everything, and you can't haggle with him either. He's so stingy. Like, you know, for example, if I wanted, you know, recently, me and Chance were talking about the first appearance of Carnage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he would sell that for like $50 when really maybe I wouldn't spend more than, you know, $20 on it, if that.
Yeah.
Maybe 15 at the most. Or for, you know, just, you know, silly issues. Let's say this Strain comic, you know, let's say it was 4 years old. You would try to at least get $6, $7 out of it.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. Overinflated.
I think at the flea markets, I usually find the stingy people and that don't know nothing about the comic book industry.
Right. They probably have a comic book price guide from like 20 years ago.
Yeah,
and in going which by that.
The prices were completely different back then.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they don't pay attention to how the industry's going now because, you know, I feel like the comic book industry is sort of picking up a little bit more now.
Yeah. I think we lost Chance here. Let me try to get him back.
Yeah, we did lose him.
Okay, he's calling. You there, Chance?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Let me shoot. I answered yours, but that put Steven on hold. Let me hang up that one and start conference call. Where'd he go? There he is. All right, hold on one sec, Chance. I'm going to hang up and then conference call you both.
All right.
You guys there?
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, got you both back.
Hey, Matt, real fast. Yep. On my screen it says that the person who is trying to combine the calls is using an older version of Skype.
Okay. Probably me.
Yeah, so maybe look into the upgrade.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm running a Mac Tiger, and I need to upgrade to Leopard, and I just haven't gotten to do it. And so there's a ton of Mac stuff that will not, a ton of like new programs that will refuse to do anything with my outdated Tiger, even though, you know, a lot of people are still running Windows XP, so they're just stitchy that way. But
yeah, I thought you just maybe like to know that. Since
yeah,
I saw that on my screen.
No, I appreciate it. Well, let's see. Anybody have anything else they want to discuss?
Let's see. No, I hit all 4 points of my news that I found over the last few days.
Okay.
I did remember something from my review that I wanted to mention that I forgot.
Sure.
Was that about a month or two ago, there was news that Crypto would no longer be in the Superman universe. And that really disappointed me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't, like, I never followed Crypto specifically, but I didn't like it. So during this Action Comics, Crypto is in it, and how it plays out gives me hope that Crypto will end up being in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that could have been, you know, they threw that in there to give that appeal that it could happen, and if they enough people want it to, it may happen.
Well, isn't Crypto in the Action Comics, just from the preview that I saw, it looked like a tiger, or like a cat or something.
He's still a dog, but, mm-hmm. or at least he appears to be a dog. He's just really large,
mm-hmm.
and he does look kind of ferocious.
Okay.
But after reading Aquaman, the last one, number 4, when there was an aqua dog, mm-hmm. that just threw me over and I want Crypto back.
Aqua dog.
Yeah,
yes,
Aqua dog. Aqua dog. Aquaman. Oh.
Yeah, that's one that I dropped pretty quickly after starting it.
Quick question. Why is Aquaman the butt end of every joke?
That was my problem with it. That's why I had to stop reading it because, you know, the first issue I could get through and then I read the preview of the second one, it was more Aquaman bashing and blasting and joking about, and I was like, that's enough.
Like,
I think if that's the reasoning, I do believe that after this last issue, things will get better for Aquaman. It won't be as much of a joke. So
yeah,
I think it'll change.
I was hoping they would just ignore the whole, Aquaman's a useless superhero thing and just go straight into making him cool. And I understand, why you want to call out the elephant in the room, but man, they're just killing it.
I think they got to give him a new outfit, personally, because the orange and green, I just don't think it's 2000 material.
Yeah.
Color-wise.
I liked the long-haired bearded with a hook Aquaman.
Oh, like the rugged lumberjack look?
Yeah. I wanted them to bring that back. I didn't read much of it when it was out, but...
Well, didn't he have like a water-based hand or something?
Yeah, I think he did for a while there.
So he can regrow his limbs?
I don't know. Chance, do you know?
I do not know.
Where's Jason at when you need him? Isn't he the Aquaman?
Yeah, I think he knows the most about Aquaman.
I can say I maybe have read 3 pages of an Aquaman comic in my whole life.
Well, since you're new here, Steven, and I don't know a ton about you, what would you consider like your top 3 books that you're reading now?
Definitely Red Lantern. Pretty much all Green Lantern right now.
Mm-hmm.
DC's been writing awesome lately with this new 52, and I'm enjoying it. I just recently started picking up DC at the beginning of Blackest Night, and I've pretty much got every issue since then. I was a huge Marvel fanatic, pretty much everything was Marvel. I was addicted to Thunderbolts for the longest time, but then the writing got really sloppy and I dropped it after almost 100 issues of collecting it for the last few years. I like a lot of horror comics. I get like Hellraiser, Vincent Price Presents, I like the darker stuff when it comes out. And figures. I still collect figures. I have a pretty nifty collection of figures.
Okay. So,
and with the new toy column that we have on the forums now, which is pretty cool.
Okay, are you're the one writing that?
Yeah, I'm the one writing those.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't have a lot of the collectibles, but dang it, every time I go into Walmart and Target and see the DC Universe figures, I'm like so tempted, but man, I wish they sold them. I wish they were like $8 instead of $15, or if they'd scale them down a little bit so they could offer them for less.
Young Justice has a series out right now of the smaller sized figures. Those are only like between $6 and $8.
Okay.
And Marvel has the Marvel Universe figures out right now, and those are under $10 usually. And then they are releasing the new Marvel Legends figures, which there was an article just wrote on that. And that's going to be, 9 figures for the series. You're going to have Iron Man, you're going to have Hope, you're going to have Claw. So that looks pretty cool for the people on a cheaper budget.
Right.
And they look nice, too. It's sort of sad that they don't make the 8-inch... Marvel Legends anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The really nice ones that, were out for almost 4 or 5 years. So I got a lot of those. Those are beautiful figures.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff that they make now compared to what we had when we were kids is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge. Huge difference.
Can almost credit, I want to say McFarlane. Do you remember when his line came out, it kind of changed a lot of how a lot of that was done?
I think Image sort of set the standards in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was so strong, with the figures, the Spawn figures, when those first came out, I was like, oh my god, these figures are awesome.
Yeah.
And they were, and you can hold them to figures today, and they hold their own ground still.
Mm-hmm.
So, I still have a few.
Hey, you mentioned horror comics.
Yeah.
Chance, I know you I talked about this on the year-end show. Either of you read iZombie, or have you picked that up yet?
You know, I collected the first 7 issues of iZombie,
mm-hmm.
and I liked it. You know, I liked the art. You know, it was that Andy Warhol style.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the storyline wasn't bad. You know, you had a werewolf, you had a zombie, you had a ghost,
mm-hmm.
which was really cool.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. You know, I only read it up to about 7 issues. But, you know, great series. I don't know where it's at now, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been plodding along. I think it's up to issue 20, and I'm just up to, like, issue 17. But because of the art and because it just has the storytelling, there's nothing incredibly shocking or outlandish, but it's like comfort food. You know, you read it and you enjoy it, and then you put it away, and
you know,
you look forward to next month.
I sort of got like an Addams Family type feel for it,
mm-hmm.
almost. You know, it's not, like you said, it's not shocking. It's not, you know, people getting their heads ripped off. You know, it's just simple storytelling.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, the art's visually appealing. You know, I like how it changes from panel to panel usually. So,
yeah,
it's
nice. The texture of paper is also, I guess it's the same stock that Fables uses or something. It's not quite glossy. A little more papery.
Mm-hmm.
I've often wondered if we could bring the prices of comics down if they would just get away from the ultra, ultra glossy paper.
Yeah, probably, you know, some people wouldn't even mind going back to newsprint again.
Yeah.
You know, personally, I wouldn't mind. I like newsprint. I have nothing to matter against newsprint. I think it's terrific, sort of.
I think it actually helps the read as well when it's on the newsprint, because the glossy paper tends just to be really have a strong glare, and it kind of disrupts my reading.
Yeah, you have to have like just the exact kind of light coming, and otherwise you can't see the dang thing.
Yeah.
I had a favorite chair that I would sit in, and at certain times of the day it was more difficult to read than others. So.
Yeah, you know, it's not bad, but, you know, look at how society is now. You know, everything's got to be visually spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think DC or Marvel, one of them should toy maybe around with that idea of having a line of more discounted books with that type of paper and just see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even if it was, you know, $1.99, that would... For a lot of people, you know, I know that I would pick up a line like that in a heartbeat from Marvel. And for a lot of us, it would be sort of a nostalgic thing to pick up the paper. But, you know, if they're saving money and can charge us less, then I think that's good for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you said, if it's just one or two, you know, series, even if it's a mini series, I'd still pick it up.
Sure. I don't pick up a lot of the black and white stuff, though. For some reason, that bothers me.
What, just black and white color?
Yeah, I mean, with the Goon stuff, it was doable. I guess it just depends on the comic, but a lot of those big anthologies that Marvel put out back in the day, the sort of cheaper version, you know, without the color and stuff, I couldn't really get into those.
Yeah, like, you know, I read Walking Dead, and, you know, I think that's black and white. Perfect for that sort of, you know, comic.
Yeah, there's so many zombie comics right now.
Oh, zombies are that thing. You know, I've been, you know, horror is like one of my favorite things. You know, I have it real. I own 400 over 400 horror movies. You know, all the way back from the 60s and 50s. And you know, zombies are just it now. Everybody loves zombies, and this just started happening probably about 2 years ago. But now it's just off the charts, and it's getting disgusting in some sort of ways.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many of these little indie companies now, and every time I click down on, you know, Comixology, just kind of check out and see what they've got. You know, most of them have at least one zombie title, if not a couple. And like you said, it's almost like the thing to do. You have to have one of these, or else you shouldn't be making comics.
Yeah, you know, You know, the only probably original idea I have seen in a comic that's not just zombies, you know, Walking Dead is, you know, probably like the grandfather of zombie comics now. But there was, it's on Comicsology, it's a free read. I forgot what it was called, but the premise of it was that, you know, zombies have overtaken the world and the humans are there, but there's also vampires involved.
Okay.
And the vampires are actually protecting the humans against the zombies.
That's cool.
So, you know, it's an interesting tweak, but yeah, too much zombie stuff now. It's got to calm down.
Yeah. Well, everybody's jumping on the, you know, the Walking Dead train. They're hoping to get that, you know, even if it's second to Walking Dead, you know, they're still going to be raking in the cash if they can get to remotely that level of success.
Oh, yeah.
You can't, I guess, blame them for trying it, but yeah, it's gotten kind of convoluted.
And it's, you know, it's so hard to come up with an original idea now because everything has been done.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the movie industry now, everything's a remake.
Yep. Definitely. Even remake of stuff from only 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, we're seeing a new Spider-Man again.
Yeah.
And it's only been, what, when was the first one done? 01 or something like that, 02?
Yeah.
So,
Chance, I know you're a big Spider-Man guy. You've been excited about the new Spider-Man movie?
I was until I saw something. I forget who posted it. I believe it was either Steve or Nico about the movie that just kind of derailed my interest in it at all. And I don't really want to say what it is because it was kind of a big deal. If it is to happen.
Hmm.
Oh, are you referring to the lizard? Because that's what
no.
I posted.
It was in that. It wasn't the lizard itself, though. So it must have been Nico that posted it. It was about what was going to happen with a certain character.
Hmm. Oh. I'll have to reread that.
Yeah, that movie worries me a little bit, just like you say, because it's so soon. But the third Batman is starting to worry me, just because there's so much hype surrounding it, and then there's people screaming about, you know, disappointing photos, and then to me, I think maybe they have too many villains coming in here. I think having Catwoman and Bane might be a mistake. I don't know. I'm hoping that they do pull it off.
You know, I'm probably going to be the only person in the whole world, it seems. I do not like this new style of Batman at all. I am totally against it.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, majority of people, they think the new Batman is great. You know, I get into arguments with people saying it's horrible. Granted, I did like Heath Ledger's Joker. I thought it was, you know, what Joker is supposed to be, what he embodies as a character. But, you know, me, you know, I like, you know, the playful Joker, I guess you can say, with just a little sadistic side to him, like Cesar Romero's version in, you know, the 60s Batman with Adam West.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sort of Joker I like. Or even going into Batman the Animated Series in the 90s. You know, that's what I like. I like Mark Hamill's Joker, I guess, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome. They'd let him be Joker.
I don't know where I got into it. It was probably Facebook with a few of my other comic book buddies. I actually got into an argument saying that Mark Hamill is not an actual talent for the Joker. He cannot represent the Joker because he is a voiceover.
Right.
But doing a voiceover is still acting. You're still putting yourself into that character.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like Mark Hamill and Cesar Romero's Joker for the best. But I don't know about this new one with Catwoman. I'm sorry. I don't think you can replace Michelle Pfeiffer at all.
I mean, I like Anne Hathaway, but I don't like the costume they're giving her, and I don't like the fact that it's her and it's Bane, because you know somebody's going to get less time, and it's going to feel like too much is going on. I really even felt that way about the second movie when the way they kind of tried to throw Two-Face into it, you know.
Yeah, now he's not even in this new one at all, is he?
I don't think so.
Yeah, man.
Which would have been, you know, the best progression, I think, would have been to just do Two-Face.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I guess that's why they're making mega millions of dollars and I'm not, but...
Yeah.
And I hope it's good.
Are they giving Bane, like, a brain in this, or what?
I don't know. He's supposed to be Spanish-speaking, so I don't know if they're going to...
Yeah, he's supposed to be, Mexican or Spanish or something like that.
Yeah.
I know there was a lot of people complaining, though, that saw the movie early about how he was speaking, that they couldn't understand him.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that's going to be addressed or changed at all. I don't know how you would at this point, but...
Well, if you combine that with the way Batman talks, you might not understand anything in the movie.
Oh.
I can't take the gravelly voice. Oh, my gosh.
Oh. God.
It's too much. And you wonder who okayed that. You know, if it was a case where Christian Bale said, this is how I think it should be, and they didn't want to, like, upset him. Or, you know, I mean, obviously his voice should be a little bit different because he's disguising that he's Bruce Wayne, but it's almost, you know, you can't even understand what he's saying, and it sounds so ridiculous.
Muffled. So muffled.
Yeah, it's a parody, and you know, people were laughing at it, and you know, I remember at the end of the movie, everybody was like, what was up with Batman's voice? The Joker was great, but what was with Batman? And that's kind of not good for, you know, a movie that's supposed to be about Batman.
You know, it was just sort of weird how they progressed that series. You know, they started off with, what, Ra's al Ghul and Scarecrow?
Mm-hmm.
And then they jumped in with Joker and Two-Face. And now they're going to Bane and Catwoman, which is really weird.
Yeah.
A really weird pairings.
And you wonder, you know they're, after this is over, they're gonna keep doing it. So you wonder if they're going to go back to maybe more of the fun Batman movies or the more campy stuff. I don't imagine that they would, but maybe we'll get a Robin or a Nightwing or something in the mix.
And you know, there was a huge rumor floating around that if they do a next one, they are going to look at Robin Williams to play the Mad Hatter. Mad Hatter, you know, they've been talking about the Mad Hatter since the beginning of production with the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to put him in a movie since he's never had any screen time.
Right.
And their number one look was Robin Williams.
That would work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. But, like, it's just a rumor, though. So.
Yeah. I wanted to see Jack Black as Penguin for some reason. I don't know why.
Really? No. I think you could still get Danny DeVito to do it.
Yeah.
I honestly think he could still do it. You know, he has that, you know, he's older now. I think he could pull the grittier look off now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen a few covers with the new issues, that new Penguin mm-hmm. series out, and I think he could pull it off still today.
Yeah, they would definitely do good to kind of do away with the whole living with penguins in the sewer thing, though, and just kind of go with a straight-up, you know, mobster kind of vibe.
Yeah. And then what else? What other rumors were along with this movie? I also heard Russell Brand as the Riddler.
Hmm.
Weird. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
You probably just edited that part out.
No.
Yeah. We don't know where movies are going. You know, it seems like Marvel's doing well with their cartoon line. You know, mm-hmm. they got Blade coming out real soon on G4.
Hmm.
So, I haven't caught the X-Men one yet.
I haven't seen the Green Lantern one yet. Anybody seen that?
Yeah, I saw episode one. What about you, Chance?
Yeah, I watched the first episode. I think that's the only one they've done so far, right?
I think so. It's not on demand, so.
Hmm. Yeah, they need to be careful with that. Avengers did it right. They had a really good bulk of shows ready to go, and then, you know, Young Justice, while it was such a great show, they kind of stalled in the middle there and had to wait for the rest of them to be finished.
Yeah, have you been keeping track of Young Justice?
No.
The second season was pretty good.
Hmm.
So So I liked it. You know, they what was it? The Society of, or the Injustice Society? I don't know. I forgot what it's called. Huh. But it's like Joker and a few others. And that's how he sort of ended the second season, it seems. Not bad, though. And then the Green Lantern was all right. You know, it wasn't the best. I don't like how they portray Atrocitus at all. Sort of makes me upset.
And, I don't really care for the way that they look, like the art of it.
Oh, yeah, with the
the CGI. Yeah. I'm not crazy about that either. You know, if the story's good enough, I can get through it. But I like the traditional animation. For Christmas, I picked up Justice League Unlimited Season 2, which was on sale. So I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I just the buy I had over Christmas was at Best Buy. They had All-Star Superman, Green Lantern Emerald Knights, and Batman Under the Red Hood
for
$3 a pop.
Oh, that's good.
I picked them all up.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right. Well, I'm running up on a something else I got to be at, so I'm going to go ahead and close the show. We're at just over an hour. I want to thank Steven Sparks and Chance Peterson for helping me out here. Jason and my schedules seems like it's going to be conflicting, so I may call on you guys again to do
always
the show.
Here.
And y'all have a good night. And for anybody who is interested, go to stashmycomics.com. Check out the forums. Check out the articles. There's a great group of people participating and doing lots of things. It's definitely the most unique comic book site out there. Anyways, thank you guys for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.